Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we ask that you give us peace and calm in the storms of life. And be with this congregation as they await their new pastor. Give them patience and faith that you have the best in mind for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, let me introduce myself. I'm Pastor Mike DeVries. I'm from St. Trinity in Clarkston. Pastor Duchesne was my supervising pastor for 2 years before I got ordained. I got ordained 5 years ago. And my ministry is doing what I'm doing today. I do vacancies. I do emergencies. I fill in where needed, when needed, when I'm available. My son's also a pastor. He's in Wisconsin. So if I have family stuff going on, my wife has informed me I am not going anywhere but Wisconsin. So that's how that works. So calm in the storm. So Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. 1 second, he was peacefully perched in his cage. And the next, he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problem began when Chippy's owner decided to clean his cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment for the end of the hose, stuck it in the cage. The phone rang. When she turned to pick it up, she barely said hello when Chippy got sucked in. Now, the bird owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum cleaner, opened the bag, and there was Chippy, still alive but stunned. And since the bird was covered with dust and hair and all the stuff you'd find in a dust bag, she grabbed him, raced to the bathroom, turned on the tap, and held Chippy under the running water. Then realized Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hair dryer and blasted him with hot air. Now, poor Chippy, he never knew what hit him. So a few days after the trauma, a friend heard about Chippy's troubles and contacted his owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, she replied, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. Now, who can blame him? Sucked in, washed up, and blown over, that's enough to steal the song from the stoutest heart. Things happen in our lives that come along unexpectedly. We end up feeling a bit like Chippy, right? Sucked in, washed up, blown over, a song stolen from the stoutest heart. Now, I imagine there are very few here this morning who couldn't stand up and give testimony to some aspect in their lives where they feel a bit like the disciples in the boat. Afraid, vulnerable, a decidedly sinking feeling. You know what it's like to feel as though you are in the middle of a storm, tossed this way and that. And you wonder how you're ever going to find calmer waters. The panic-stricken disciples shouted to Jesus above the roar of the wind, the sound of the waves, the crashing over the sides of their boat. Teacher, don't you care that we are dying? A storm at sea. There's very little that's more terrifying to most people than a storm at sea. Storms anytime are scary enough when you add the dimensions of deep water beneath you, the water lashed by howling winds and rising to incredible heights around and above you, the terror is magnified many times. A 12-year-old lad was out fishing with his father, and he tells this story. We were about 10 miles out into the bay when a sudden thunderstorm came upon us. It was a moderate storm, probably even a small storm by Sea of Galilee standards. None of this mattered to a 12-year-old boy in a 16-foot fishing boat. A pleasant day of fun with Dad turned into horror. As the clouds began to get heavy, the day grew dark. We both became uncomfortable and started back towards shore. The wind began to rise. The waves got higher. I became afraid. What would happen if they got even higher? I began to doubt Dad's seamanship. Sure, he'd been in the Navy. That was 18 years earlier. He began to doubt his ability to get us to shore in the storm. As the waves began to come over the bow of the boat, I was terrified. I knew the boat was going to be swamped and probably sink, and all I had was a life jacket. Then suddenly, we reached a small bay. The wind screamed from us, and the waves subsided. The wind was screened from us, and the waves subsided. There was calm after the storm. Now, the boy had doubted his father's ability. That didn't mean his father couldn't save him. And the disciples found themselves in a storm like this. Now, many of the disciples were professional fishermen. They knew how easily even a good boat could capsize or be swamped by the waves. They knew what happened to others who'd been caught in storms like this. There'd be no way to swim out of that situation. In the dark, in the waves, in the storm, you get swamped in a storm, you drown. What was Jesus doing in the middle of the storm? With the wind and the waves roaring and the disciples panicking, Jesus was calmly sleeping on a cushion. For a moment, Mark focuses his attention on the sleeping Jesus. Jesus asleep during a violent storm. That's amazing in itself. It's not that he doesn't care. When his head hits the pillow, he rests totally, unconditionally in the loving arms of his Father. Now, it's easy to say he's the power of God, so of course nothing's going to frighten him. Think of him first of all as one of us, a man, a human being, not immune to pain and suffering and inner turmoil, but he sleeps. Jesus sleeps because he knows that whatever happened in his life, God is in control. Let's say that again. Jesus sleeps because he knows that what happens in his life, God is in control. He's the Lord of creation, and there's never a time when things are so out of control that God no longer knows what to do. Wouldn't it be great if we could relax like that when we're under attack? Mark makes the point of contrasting the terror and panic of the disciples and the peacefulness and serenity of Jesus. Is often placed at the end of chaos. In the gospel story, there's a peacefulness about him. Think of his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. He just surrendered. Jesus stands up without answering their questions about whether he cared for them in their time of deep trouble. Rather, he demonstrates how much he cares. He speaks a word to the wind and the sea for them and for us. Be quiet, be still. It's calm. Jesus brings peace and calm to the terrified and panic-stricken disciples. In ancient literature, storms were often thought of as the power of chaos breaking out, as the raging of all that is evil. And Jesus has power over all that is evil and chaotic. His peace gives calmness, a sense of serenity and security. Now, 20 centuries later, when we read this story, we're bound to think of ourselves and the brand of chaos we have in our lives. Every day, we simple landlubbers run into times of distress which absorb our last ounce of energy. We know what it's like. He hasn't let us down. We may have been pretty angry with him. We may have wanted to abuse him like we've never abused anyone before. We may want to abandon him, but it's clear he's never abandoned us. Not for one moment. He gives you peace. Something inside which says, it's okay, you can manage, it'll be all right, I'm here for you. We get through this together like that boat which was on the brink of being smashed to pieces, and you now gently rock to and fro and you're at peace. The Old Testament tells of the chaos that broke into Job's calm and serene life. Marauders took away his flock. Lightning devours his cattle. A desert twister sweeps away his sons and daughters, and he's left in ruins. If that were not enough, the sharp teeth of physical pain bite into his flesh. There's no place on his body without pain. He becomes a physical wreck, a social outcast, an economic has-been, and worst of all, a religious outcast and heretic. What is God doing? Here's a man who is totally dedicated to God, who lives a good and decent life, and he's treated so unjustly. How unfair can you get? And God doesn't seem to be doing anything to help him. He could have easily cried out as the disciples did, Lord, don't you care about me? I'm about to die. We read then, God answered Job out of the whirlwind. I marked out for it my bounds, set its bars and doors, and he said, you may come here, but no further. Here your proud waves shall be stayed. God's in control of what appears uncontrollable. God's more powerful than the worst kinds of chaos and trouble. Now, storm clouds have gathered over our country. Just think of the things that upset the smooth sailing of our country at the moment, especially during political season. It may seem from the news that chaos has certainly broken loose, and we, like the disciples, are fearful of what's going to happen. Will we all go down with the ship? Will the power of the destructive storms that have broken out in our world finally swamp us? We're tempted to ask, what happened to the straight sailing of the past? Let's be truthful. There's never been straight sailing in the past since sin came into the world in the Garden of Eden. And let's not forget the church. It's not exempt from storms and chaos either. Christians hurt one another. When the church is struggling because of uncommitted members, when Christians are distracted from worship, reading God's word, and prayer by all kinds of trivial things, when Christians prefer holding to grudges rather than seeking reconciliation, when the followers of Jesus are burdened with guilt and uncertainty and doubt, there are storms that the church faces in our secular society. Often the church is described as a boat. All the believers are sailing in this boat, sometimes in calm waters, but more often than not, we're sailing through a storm. God isn't responsible for the chaos in our lives, but he's there to help us overcome the chaos Satan wreaks in our lives. God tells us again and again, as if we need constant reminding, that he's in the boat riding the storms with us, that if we left him, he uses these storms to strengthen us and to bless us. And he reminds us, don't be afraid, neither be dismayed, for Yahweh your God is with you wherever you go. That's from Joshua 1:9. God is not out there somewhere, but right here in the boat with us as the chaos rages around us. He's in the midst of our difficulties, in the scary moments of our lives, but not subject to them. Jesus wasn't joking when he said that he would be with us always to the very end of time. It's a sacred promise. Our baptism declares God's love for us and his continued presence throughout our life. Our baptism is Jesus' promise to ride with us through the storms, bringing his peace and his calm into our lives. He may not always stop the chaos, but he supports us and gives us strength and gives us peace that only he can give. Even if death should take us from this life, he's there waiting to welcome us into our heavenly home. So when we're sucked in, washed up, and blown over like Chippy, and our song in our hearts is silenced, we are assured that Christ is in our boat sharing our storms. He says to our stormy chaos, quiet, be still. So as you wait for your pastor to come, my son's a pastor, and he turned down 6 calls before he ended up where he is now. And he's in a wonderful place, and he turned down a couple that were just seemed like the perfect fit, but something just wasn't right in his prayers. So kind of keep that in mind. And those of you who are familiar with the Jerry Lewis Telethon, there was a song at the end called You'll Never Walk Alone. You familiar with that one? As I walk through the storms, keep your head held high, and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is the golden sky and the silver song of the lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams seem tossed and blown. Walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. That's what Jesus has for you. Amen.